So 30 years ago, Mark, Dave, and John all have kids, along with Dan Dealing and Jim Dealing, and that's who's, you know, the pastors on staff. They all have kids, and public school wasn't an option. That was the zero. But we didn't want to homeschool. None of us were like, oh, we want to go homeschool. And I was like, please, no, we don't want to homeschool. What are we going to do? None of us. I was working, even though I was a mom of little kids. I still had a part-time job in banking. And so Mark and Dave, again, like said, let's start a school. And so why is the school 3 days and not five? Partly it's because if you wanted to put your kids in private education, it's almost like you had to be wealthy. If you, and it's a good school, but if you want to have three kids over at Christian Unified, you need about $30,000 a year. Well, not very many people can afford that. And none of the pastors could afford private education. So part of the reason why Mark and Dave had this heart to start Foothill School was to make private Christian education affordable. And so that's where the 3 days came in, because the teachers are part-time. So you paying tuition, you're not paying for retirement, you're not paying for medical or dental or any benefits, because they're all part-time. So again, I do want to get into the nitty-gritty of paint a picture of what this school looks like. I have been there for 29 years. It's been so much fun. I really mean that. I enjoy going to work. I enjoy, there is, at the elementary, you have a staff of 19, plus you have about 35 monitors, meaning teacher's aides. So a couple things that I want, so I will start out by sharing a little bit. How many of you have an elementary student? Just so I, where to focus. You have elementary. How many have middle school? Middle school? And how many have high school? None. Because I really could share everything about the high school too, because I had... You're close. Okay. So I will get to the high school a little bit too. So the TK is where we start now, and it's here on this campus because there's no room at the elementary. And we do use Bob Jones. So it's BJU Press. If you looked at BJUPress.com, that is our curriculum. And we're actually, so three or four, I kept pressing Dave Hoffman, hey, you got to go to this, you got to go to BJU, you got to go to BJU. And why am I in love with this curriculum? So being there 29 years, can I say we've gone through some curriculum? We've changed. I mean, radically changed from the beginning to now. We have been BJU now for 14 years. So we finally found something that is fabulous, and I want to share. And partly it's what Mike was talking about. BJU curriculum, first and foremost, is teaching your kid a Christian worldview through everything, even in math. So I started to mention to you, I kept begging Dave to go. So finally, Dave... And at that time, it was the other different principal, Linnell, and Dan Dealing and I went to BJU 3 years ago. And after the first day, Dave leached over and said, okay, Gina, I'm sorry I didn't come sooner, but I'm here. We can. So we're now growing in BJU curriculum. We'll now, next year, be in juniors at the high school and the following year, seniors. So you will have BJU curriculum from TK, four-year-olds, all the way through your seniors. BJ, our high school is accredited, meaning WASC accreditation, the same accreditation that Granite Hills has to go through. So that diploma can go anywhere in the world. And by the way, I will tell you, if you were a homeschooler, there are colleges that absolutely think outside the box. And they will take homeschoolers that don't even have, like, you know, a traditional diploma. A place like San Diego State, which I don't even know if you want to go there, but if you did, that diploma goes there, you know. But you know what? I have something to say about that, and then I'm going to go back to elementary. At least San Diego State is a wolf in wolf's clothing, if you get what I'm saying. There, you know you're sending your kid to a non-Christian secular university. There are a lot of Christian universities out there that I would call it a wolf in sheep's clothing. They call themselves Christian, but your child's going to go there. And I think it's almost more damaging than sending it to a secular university where your child's going to have to know. That's where I went with San Diego State. You have to know you're going to have to stand up for your faith. But you can send your kid to off to a Christian school thinking they're going to get a Christian school. I've known many students go to Christian universities and come out a secularist or come out a humanist. I mean, there's a lot. So that's really bothersome. So again, at least it's a wolf in wolf's clothes. But so BJU curriculum, they've even rewritten in the last, they realized that kids that grew up in BJU still went off to secular universities and many of them lost their faith. So they dug deep and said, what are we doing wrong? We're doing something wrong. And so they have radically rewritten their curriculum. So starting in first grade, in your BJU Bible, they are going to be all year learning about their identity in Christ. And so you're going to be, you are a man made in the image of God. You are a woman. They're not talking about transgender, these kids. But honestly, they are. Do you understand? And then this is what they do, though. They go, what does the word say? What does the word say? And they teach them to go, that is their authority in their life, the word of God. So they're constantly teaching these kids to go back to the word and get their future is in Christ. And so, and the, let me tell you, all the way through, now we have fifth grade on that campus, and the new Bible curriculum, I'll tell you, they deal with homosexuality. And I had one mom want their son pulled out last year. And this is what I have to say about that. They deal with it very basic. But why are they dealing with it? Well, I'm at a Padre game last year, and I have two people sitting in front of me that are very overtly the same sex and very overtly together. So you can't tell me your fifth grader can't go to Disneyland, or maybe you don't go to Disneyland, but you, like I said, a Padre game or the zoo, and your kids are starting to notice these things. So back in the old BJU curriculum, they would never bring up homosexuality. But in the new curriculum, and they're not going to wait till these till someone else teaches them about it. And what do? They just say, again, they teach them, what does the word say? What does the word say? And they do such a beautiful job. It's so nothing weird, okay? So what I'm telling you is, even in math, in Bible, everything comes together and there's synergy to teach these kids a biblical worldview about life. And so it's so much more than the science they're teaching or the history they're teaching. It's amazing. And I've like I said, we've used Abeka, we've been learning language arts through literature, we've used ACE, we've used so many things in these past years, and I have not seen anything like this. The other thing, let's talk about academics. Bob Jones prides themselves on teaching kids to understand, not memorize. So when we're teaching math to the littles all the way through third grade, almost every day, unless there's a test, they're going to have a clock out in front of them. They're going to have blocks for, you know, your borrowing and carrying. They don't call it borrowing and carrying anymore, but whatever they call it. You have these blocks, and you can't have more than 9 in the ones place, but you have 11, so you can exchange it. So here they are borrowing and carrying, but they're doing it with their hands. You know, right now I'm taking tours. So this is the time we're introducing people to the school. So we're taking tours. And it's the dads that always notice these manipulatives. And they'll often say to me, man, I wish they did that when I was a kid. I would have liked math. And the kids do. Every kid enjoys math when they have those manipulatives. And they're touching and thinking. I walked in with two Foothills families last week into fourth grade. And we walk in and the kids are standing on their chairs, and it was, you know, and the parents loved it. And all of a sudden they're stepping off their chairs. So they were doing speed drills. So as soon as they could say it, they stood up on their chairs. Why are we doing that? Because your kid's brain is going to learn better if they're moving. If they have blood circulating through their head faster and more aggressively, they're going to learn more. So we don't want kids to sit. And I know, you know, if you read the bio, I have three sons. I always say school was not made for boys. It's made for little girls that want to sit still and produce paperwork for someone. That is not the way school is really. It's not good for boys. But the truth is, even those girls were having a blast when they were stepping up and down in their chairs. They were doing squats and lunges, and they didn't even know it. But they were getting through all those speed drills, And they were smiling. And I'll tell you, those parents that I had last week in that fourth grade class, they loved it. And they loved it because they could see the joy in the kids. In fact, a lot of times when I do these tours, the people will tell me that I can feel. So it's so cute. 2 weeks ago. And it is a Foothills family. Great. But he kept saying, I just feel such good vibes. People say, oh, I feel the Holy Spirit. All right. But this dad kept saying, I just feel. And I said, well, you can see the joy on the kid's face. So here's the other thing I want to talk about. And it doesn't have to be bad or good or neutral, but it is different. And this is one thing I want to say about private Christian education versus homeschooling. And this might shock you, but I'm going to tell you something that I think is good about private education that's hard to get in homeschooling, and that is conflict. And I know people think, what? Conflict? Why would I want my child to have conflict? I don't know about you. If you're married, do you have conflict? I do. I'm married to John, and we have conflict. And so I think, and it's not the same as just having conflict with your siblings, but there are times, even in our sweet private Christian school, that kids are mean. And you know what I'm going to tell you? I think, do we discipline that? Absolutely. But is that all bad? No. Conflict and resolving conflict in your child's life and sometimes being teased and having to overcome that is good. It is good. It's good because, a lot of you, hey, if any of you work in construction or outside in the world, are you always treated perfectly fair? Two things I said to my kids all the time. Life is not fair, because it's not. And it's never going to be fair, so don't try to make it fair. The other thing I said to our kids all the time is attitude is everything. So you got to change your attitude because it can't get better till you have a better attitude. So again, we have conflicts at Foothills Christian School. Kids sometimes do mistreat each other. I had a fifth grade boy come and complain that these two fourth grade boys last week were sort of making fun of him in soccer. So I brought those two kids in and they admitted to it. Yes. But do you know what he's saying? He's saying, I'm better than all of you. I'm on all-stars. So you can't get the ball past me. So then I brought back that boy that was complaining. And I said, you know what? They were wrong for doing that. But you're also wrong for bragging. So all I'm making the point is some of those, you don't want to be that parent that gets the phone call that, your kid was the teaser, or whatever. Sometimes you don't even get, I didn't call their parents. I didn't call a parent last week. It was good stuff. These are good things, good conflicts for us to resolve. But if your child happened to be the one that punched the other one, you're probably getting a phone call. And you don't want to be that parent. But you know what? Even the one that did the wrong, they're learning. They are growing. They're maturing. So those kind of things, I'm just telling you, I think conflict is good and it's not overrated. It's beautiful. And I think it really helps them in life to have conflict. Okay. So we got a little bit of history, why the school started making it affordable. So what is affordable? The elementary school this next coming fall is going to be it's $5,060 a year. It's $460 a month, 11 months. Now, Foothills Church, I'm going to tell you, whether it's junior high, high school, or the elementary, if you're an active member and you tithe and you need help, they're so crazy generous. It's amazing. The church wants to help you send your kids to the school. So I see many scholarships are half. They'll pay for half of it. I don't know, some of you, anybody have preschoolers right now that are in preschool? It's expensive. So let's just say you're sending your child to a preschool for three half days, half. You pick them up before lunch. You are spending more than to send your kid to our junior high or our high school is more. But the elementary or the junior high is less, and you're sending them for three full days. That's because Foothills Church has a passion to keep Christian education affordable. So it's the junior high is a little more than that. It's like $500 a month. It's about $500 a month. The high school is definitely more. And part of that is they just have to pay their teachers more than the junior high and the elementary do. So it costs more. They, you know, they have, you know, a lot, just so this little high school for you, they have a lot of retired teachers that I know two that are no longer teaching at San Diego School District. One taught, he retired there, and he's now teaching the upper level sciences. His name is Jerry. He cannot believe. He didn't know kids like this existed. It is, he said, it has been the biggest joy of his life to teach there, because he would be flipped off in custody. He was for 30 years taught in San Diego, where it was just a harder, rougher crowd. Okay, every day he said he was cussed at, cursed at, and I'm thinking, oh, that's great. What do you mean? Like, that's, we don't even think about that at our school. They wouldn't be coming back to our school if that, you know. But he just said it's such a joy. And is it perfect? No. Do kids do wrong? Absolutely. But it's a joy. And then another teacher, a female, she taught at Patrick Henry for years. Now she's the upper level math teacher. So they have a lot. They have to pay more. So the high school next year is about $8,000 a year. I don't know what that works out a month, but it's $8,000 a year. Again, I think they have about 20 families on scholarship. And if it's a Foothills family and you meet those requirements, they are generous. And so that, again, I'm painting the financial picture. One thing the high school does that people love is they don't have registration fees. They just make it clean. Tuition fees, you do have some PE clothes and some biology fees, but that's pretty much it. Where you do have a registration fee at the elementary and the middle, that's partly because we consume our books at that level. We write in the books. We eat them, and they get thrown away. So those books cost us $350 per student to buy a year. So that's why we have the registration fee. Where the high school uses textbooks, and they are expensive, but they do get to reuse them. So that's the finances. Let me tell you a little bit. You're going to get there eventually. I'll tell you, this was huge for our family. We like sports. We love sports, and we still love sports. So our kids really enjoyed the CIF sports. So our high school plays just Granite Hills. It depends on the sport. There was a time that we had dynamic basketballs. So we were the best in San Diego. So we played your best schools because we were a good team. Now it's the basketball program's just okay, so we play the okay teams. You know, I mean, it's, and that, by the way, I think it's great that it's okay, because before it was too much, too high. But my point is, our kids loved the sports, loved it. And another thing I want to say, there were some heartbreaks in those sports, and I think it made them men. I think it brought, there were some things, again, unfair. Talk about unfair. You're going to find unfair in sports. Good, because that's life. So we do offer all the sports except for things that involve a pool. There's nothing that involves a pool, but we have soccer and baseball and softball, girls volleyball, girls soccer, boys and girls everything. Nothing that involves a pool and no wrestling, but almost all the other sports. You do pay for your sports. We have a few of those programs, I think our football included, that they fundraise it. Shocking. And the kids don't pay. The coach didn't want the kids to pay. So he fundraised it and the kids came. So it's up to the sport. So again, I'm painting a big picture for you of what it's like at Foothills Christian School. They do go 3 days a week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. The middle school has a Friday option, because if you have that junior high boy, you will not enjoy homeschooling them. Most of them, I should say, most. I did not. And then at the high school, it's interesting because the kids really mature. There's a big difference between that junior high homeschooling and the high school. The high school, they have a Monday and Friday option, so you can send them 5 days, but I'm also going to tell you the truth. The kids that are there on Monday and Friday are the ones that aren't succeeding. So if your child is getting D's and F's, you have to go on Monday and Friday. But they have 270 high schoolers. They probably have 15 to 20 kids on a Monday and Friday. And those 15 kids are not their grades aren't doing well. That's why they're there. And they just need, honestly, they need accountability. They need to be held to get the work done. But most of those kids now in high school versus junior high, they're mature enough to get it done. I went hands-off in high school. I maybe hands-on in freshman, and then after that, I did nothing. They did it all. In junior high, if I did not sit next to them every single minute of every single subject, they did nothing. So I'm just telling you, they high school is easier than junior high for the moms and dads. It really is. So elementary, we do expect you to be the teacher on Mondays and Fridays. But here's something we've offered now for quite a few years, and it's a game changer. It's called Homework Club. So let's say you are a mom that has to work all 5 days a week. There's quite a few of our kids that are with grandma on Monday and Friday. So at least only 2 days or something. So a lot of kids, second grade and up, participate in Homework Club. They stay on Thursdays after school for an hour and a half. It's $15. It's between you and the teacher. We don't collect it. We can't determine who's in and out. So that $15, they stay after school and they do Monday and Friday's English, which is the hardest subject. And then they teach the math concepts. And if it's a second grader and a third grader, they almost finish math. Fourth and fifth do not. It's just too much. But they leave going home, and they just were taught the actual concepts, okay? So now they're much more independent. So if they are with grandma on Monday and Friday, it's easy. It's a lot less commitment of time, and the work is easier. So that's something the elementary does to make it, you know, for those families that do maybe need to work some. I have quite a few moms that maybe work one day, but they have Mondays off. Or they work, I have a lot of moms that work those 3 days that go to school. It works, they've worked it out. It's wonderful. So you're going to feel, let's talk about those teachers. I loved what he said. The teachers should love your kids because your kids are going to know if their teachers love them. And we are always talking. We're making really pressing to the teachers about movement. But first and foremost is that they love them and they know it. And they you know, it's not a Christian, it's not a secular school. So we don't have like... I don't know how to say this. So I have a very close friend that is a teacher at Chase Elementary. She's a fourth grade teacher right now. She teaches, she has at least six languages in her class, of which a few of those students do not speak any English at all. None. She has one severely autistic kid in her class that yells out every minute of the entire day. And he does have a personal assistant that sits with him, but he can't keep something coming out of his mouth. They're now, the public schools are just mainstreaming special needs. They don't isolate them and separate them. So, I mean, this is just logistics. I mean, I can't even imagine her teaching kids that don't speak English and speak all kinds of, I don't know how they get anything done. So when I talk about academia, it's amazing what our kids learn. Because everyone does speak the same language. Some kids speak multiple languages, but they do speak English. And our school, it's a small Christian school. So we cannot possibly take in, public school has to take in every different kind of student. And we can't. So this is our rule. All the way through the high school is one student's behavior and activity cannot academically change. What they do and how they behave cannot change the way all of your kids are going to have school. They can't be there. So a few years back in third grade, I did take in a young boy, and I was very like, I shouldn't be doing this, but the mother was so sweet. But by October 15th, he had to come out. And again, I don't know the diagnosis, but he interrupted the teacher at least twice a minute. And we tried everything to see if we could do a song and dance to make it work and rewards and wiggle things and wiggle bands. And we did everything and nothing changed. He interrupted, so he had to go. again, you're sending and paying for your kids to go to an education and not to have it interrupted like that. So again, I'm just trying to paint a picture of what it's like at Foothills Christian School. But back to the kids, the those teachers loving your kids. They need to be good communicators. I don't know about you, but I'm sure you've had a monotone, boring teacher. And it's miserable. It's miserable. But a teacher needs to be interesting, and they need to be engaging. And so when we go to hire, it's probably very, the high school has to hire based on those degrees because of the WASCA education. And I've seen it go naked. I've seen it being like, you were a teacher before? Oh my gosh, you're not a good teacher. But they have to hire that way. But again, they do a lot to try to figure that out before the high school hires them. They have them teach for a week. They do all kinds of things. Because just because they have that diploma that says they're a teacher does not mean they're a good teacher. First of all, so at the elementary, remember we talked about I have like 35 aides? Some of those aides even have teaching credentials. And you know what? Over the years, some of those aides with teaching credentials, I would not have hired to be a teacher. And I got to see that because they're in the classroom as an aide. And so last year's, we don't have a big teacher turnover. And they're not paid well. So right away, first of all, they're not there for the paycheck. They must enjoy doing what they're doing. They must love coming to work. And we really do love each other. So last year, we hired one second grade teacher. Shamar Collins, and she comes here to Foothills, and yes, she has a bachelor's degree, but it was not in teaching, but she had been an aide for 3 years, and we started having her sub because you start seeing, okay, she's really good with the kids, the way she talks and the way, so we get to start testing those waters and start using them as a teacher. That is so much more efficient than looking at a resume. And so I believe it's one thing that has really helped Foothills School be successful, because we're not hiring someone on a resume. And because you cannot tell if they're loving from a resume. You cannot tell if they are engaging from a resume. So that's how we hire. Again, that's a little different. You know, COVID brought in, we were already full before COVID. So it really didn't change the dynamic. Summer of 2020, we lost families because of COVID. And then we, more in a matter, I had to come off vacation and come back to work because the phone was nuts, crazy. And then people were canceling because we can't come back. It's COVID. My grandma lives with us, that kind of thing, whatever. And so that was fine. Well, we 100% in a matter of 2 weeks flipped over and filled the school up. People wanted in, and for a couple years. But one thing we could not do at Foothills was really expand. We didn't really have room for that. Some of your other Christian schools in town doubled, tripled. And I'll tell you, that was great because it got kids out that wanted in. But it came with problems too. Because that means that summer of 2020, certain Christian schools had to hire 6 teachers, 7 teachers, 9 teachers, because so many people wanted in. I'm telling you, when you're hiring teachers that fast, you're not going to know what you're getting. And so we really didn't have that opportunity to double. We didn't even grow. We just replaced the people that left. But we didn't have to change staff. And having a staff that does not turn over is huge, huge for your kids because they want to be there. I encourage the teachers to walk up and, you know, at public school, it's like, stay away, you know, don't. But there's nothing about touching a kid on their back and good job, Johnny, you know, or whatever. But things like that, like those are the kind of things that encourage them, you know. Way back 29 years ago when I was teaching there, I would always share their chair. I don't know if we would anymore, but I'd always say, scoot over and I'll help you. And I'd share their chair, each with a half a hip. And just that, okay, we're working on the page together. I don't know, but that kind of warmth to your kid. They want to learn. They want to be there. Again, it's not perfect, but they need to feel loved. I want to open up now. So we did finances. By the way, all of our schools have a cop. Dave Hoffman, like 8 years ago, there was a couple school shootings in 1 year. And Dave calls me, Gina, don't you have a bunch of cop dads? Don't they want to, here, we'll give them some tuition break. Get a cop on campus. So I did. So I was the first school that did it. And now all three of them have a cop. And it's not a security officer. Mine, now last year I had like a couple different officers on their day off and then they would trade tuition. But this year, which I love, and now all three campuses, I have one of our dads had a first grade daughter and he just retired from San Diego PD of 25 years or something. And so he is our officer, the same one all 3 days. The middle school has a retired sheriff and the high school has a retired San Diego PD officer that his kids went to our school. And so they're there, they're carrying, have we ever really needed them? No, but they're there. It's wonderful. Yeah, we love it. In my 8 years of having one, I had a pretty divorce situation go sideways that it was very helpful that he was there. Other than that one thing, I really haven't needed him, but good, but they're still there. And we love having a man on campus because we're all women. Not at the high school. They have a lot of male teachers at the high school. But the elementary, again, we don't pay very well. So they have to have a husband making money and benefits. So that's, you know, we just love having a man on campus. And the kids do too. He's out there often on the playground interacting with them. And it's great. So security, financial, we do have an art program. And we have an art teacher. It's funny, she is one of our credentialed teachers. And then we have a music program, and we're expanding our music program next year. So our music program has generally just been a lot of singing for our Christmas program. Next year, and then we do have a retired Lakeside School District music teacher that comes and does our little people and teaches them rhythm and all kinds of things. It's great. Next year, we are bringing on a male music teacher that teaches also for another Christian school. He is going to teach the ukulele to fourth and fifth. Because, you know what? Why are we doing this? It is good for their brains. This taps into part of their brain that doesn't get tapped into. And even there's not a musical bone in my body. But if I could have, like, something like that, just, again, it grows other parts of their brains. So next year, our music program is expanding. And this will set those ukuleles, why we're doing that. One, they're achievable and movable and storage. But when they go then to junior high and high school and they're offered guitar, it really sets them up for success. So, and they'll find out if they like it. And they'll find out if they hate it. And that's okay. So music, art, the junior high also has sports. The elementary does not have sports after school. Like, we don't have teams after school. But let's open up to your questions specific, because the other questions will be about other questions that you have. I love it. Yeah. What are class ratios? Oh, great. 24 students is the max. And then you have kindergarten has two aides all day long. First, second, and third have one and a half. So one, two that come on Tuesday, one on Wednesday, and then one and a half on Thursday. So what does that mean? That aides, because even other Christian schools don't have aides like this. But it means your teacher gets to spend her whole time focusing on the kids, not passing out things. A teacher doesn't need to grade the spelling test. It's either wrong or right. It's, you know. So they don't have to go home. I have one of my newer kindergarten teachers taught kindergarten in public school and a Christian school, and neither of those schools had aides. And all she had, she just said last week at the prayer meeting, I could never go back because of our aides. Like, so if a teacher's not stressed out or maxed out, it means she's enjoying her day teaching kids. Yeah. So. So for Foothills families, you can, and by the way, you sitting here right now, you don't need to cut. If you want to take a tour just to see it, yes, but I'm going to repeat everything I just said. So you being here, you could call the school next week and say, I went to the education forum. I'm going to come in and get a packet. You can turn them in, Foothills families, on February 4th. Kindergarten is going to, you're 100% getting in. TK, you're 100% getting in. No questions asked. I would say even first grade, you're probably going to get in. If you have a second grader, what grades? Okay, so fourth, I have three spots, two Foothills families toured last week. I have one more, if they come. Okay?
Next year?
Yeah, next year. Okay. Yeah, this...
Fifth and eighth.
I don't, off the top of my head. You know, fourth actually is 100% full. But I do know a family moving out of fourth. So that means I'm going to have a fifth grade spot. And I haven't toured any Foothills families. So just do it. Okay? So you don't need to come and take a tour. Get a packet and then turn it in. We actually at 9 a.m. walk out in the parking lot because we don't have enough parking. And we'll take the packets right out of your hand. In 1 week, you'll know. And we do not cash your registration check unless you have a spot. And that registration check is non-refundable unless one reason. They do have to test to come in. So let's talk about testing a little bit. The number one thing is reading. So if I'll test a student, and it can be from homeschooling, it can be from public school. If they're behind like 2 years in reading, I feel like it's unfair. It's not right for us to put them in the class and they really are not going to even tread water. They're going to drown. So we're not going to set your child, we don't want to set them up for that, okay? So if they test and it doesn't look like it's a good fit, we give you your money back. We do not keep your money. That's the one reason it's non-refundable. So let's talk about testing. We don't care what knowledge they have, history or science. We're going to go from there. Even grammar. Because we do a lot more grammar than public school. But that's okay. We can move them forward. Reading, you cannot, let's say it's May and your kid tested and they're 2 years or 3 years behind in reading. You can't in a summer make up 2 years in reading. It just can't be done. So that's where we're saying it's not the right fit. So let's talk about math. We've changed and done this a little differently now. Math, generally when kids come, we test them and they're behind a little bit in math. Bob Jones is a little rigorous. But again, if you've grown up in it, it's great. This year, with the exception of one student, even if they're behind, we tell mom or dad, hey, this summer they need to learn these concepts. And we just try to put them at their level. And to our surprise, they actually flourish. Because most likely, again, remember that teaching is real. It's a lot of teacher-driven, a lot of activity. They gain their muscle. They grow in muscle, their math muscle. And so I only had one student that was so far behind. And we told mom, you know, do these concepts. We retested her right before school started, and she didn't have any of them. So we have one student out of 307 that goes behind. So we all teach math at the same time so that kids can move, because I have kids that go up a grade for math. So during that math time, I have one student that goes down 1 year. But she read fine, and she's doing great at our school. She just was not prepared for the right math. Again, history doesn't matter. We're going to move forward in all those things. I'm just going to share something. I'm a horrible speller. So we're not going to test their spelling because to me, it's a God gift. You're a brunette, you're a blonde, you're a good speller, you're a bad speller. It's a gift. And you can grow in that gift, but you are never going to be a great speller if you're not a great speller. And so we don't test spelling because they're going to get their lists and they can study. Our boys, our poor boys, dad's a bad speller. I'm a bad speller. They're all bad spellers. And so, but they almost always got a good grade on their spelling because we would study. We studied spelling Monday. We always saved all spelling for Monday. And then we tested that pretest Tuesday morning. And they always, on the next week, if you tested them, they would fail. They would lose whatever. It was short term. But anyway, I'm just saying, the test, what's important is reading, 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 reading. They got to be able to read everything. They got to read math. So if they're 2 years behind, they're going to drown, and we don't want to set them up for drowning. Yes?
So do they get tested before starting school?
Yeah, in May.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this May. So you sign up in February, and we test them in May. It always starts the day after Labor Day. So this year it's going to start September 2nd. And yes. So we do have one spot. I mean, I don't know if those two families that came and toured with me are even going to come. I mean, but we have three spots in fourth grade. So, I mean, we're pretty full, you know, in all grades. Obviously, every year, TK and kindergarten, we're going to have an endless amount of space. And Foothills will always get in kindergarten and TK. Just so you know, TK is only open to Foothills in the Grove because there's only one class. We have two of every grade. So we have 48 students of every grade, 48 kindergartners, 48 first graders. And like our first grade and our fourth grade and our fifth grade, there's 48. And then the other grades have like 47. So.
What are the aides like in the upper elementary?
Oh, so they have two aides on Tuesday and then one aide on Wednesday and Thursday. Because at that point, they're reading more independently. But Tuesday, we're checking their weekend's work. So every single class has two. Yeah.
What's the dress code?
Oh, that's a great question. We don't have, I would love, I think uniforms are the cutest thing ever. But it's a big, number one reason we don't have uniforms is expense. You know, it's like another, you have a whole other set of clothes. Like Christian Unified, they make you buy it out of their catalog. If we did do it, we would not make it out of our catalog. But if you, obviously you have to have a lot of money to go there, but parents will tell me they spend $1,500 to $2,000 on the clothes for the year because you have to buy it out of their catalog. And they're very nice. They're like name brand. But we don't have that. So again, we don't, so what is dress code? We've really worked hard at making the three schools more unified, but I still tell the other campuses, our kids are kids, and they are romping and playing and climbing and jumping. There's no one romping in high school, playing and jumping off rocks and on monkey bars and sliding down slides. So ours, we allow tank tops at the elementary, where the other schools do not. It has to come to the shoulder. You can't have belly shirts. The shorts are probably the number one most difficult thing. Absolutely, I'm telling you, they are. That's what I hear from everyone. It's the shorts and the skirts when you're kneeling are 6 inches up. 6 inches up. So what parents have to do is go buy pants and then cut them off and cuff them up or have them hemmed because you really can't find shorts that are that long. So anyway, shorts are the hardest thing that people have. The rest, people, I never hear complaints. T-shirts, it's nice. They wear their clothes they wear every day. They can wear, the elementary school lets the girls wear leggings. The junior high and high school, they can't. But again, I mean, they're kids. They can wear leggings. You mean when does it start next year or in the morning?
Time.
Okay. High school starts at 7:35. Junior high starts at 8. Elementary starts at 8:23. I do have parents that go drive there, and drive to all three. Now, not very many, but we do. And a lot of those parents that drive to all three have, after a little bit, they realize, oh, you're driving to all three. How about I do this one, you do that one? And then we don't arrange it. We do not arrange that. But a lot of parents, I see them getting out of the car, and they're coming from the middle school. They come and meet here, drop off the Millers, and then one mom takes kids here. It's between you. You'll work it out. But it is specific so that you could drive to all three. Okay? So the elementary school, you could actually start dropping off at 7:55, and you get almost a 30-minute window. The bell rings at 8:23. And I'll tell you, the best thing you can do is drop them off early so they can run around. Yeah. Yeah. So fourth grade, fifth grade ends at 2:50 to 3. You have a 10-minute window, 2:50 to 3. And on Thursdays, if they stay for homework club, they get out at 4:35. 4:35. Yeah.
What was the vaccine
requirement? Yeah. So it has nothing to do with we have to have a vaccine record. Yeah. And they have to be vaccinated. Yeah. Like it can't be a partially, there's no religious rights anymore. We're obviously hoping that that changes. I don't want to get political, but with RFK, there is definitely a chance of that changing. Here's another thing that's, so John and I, we partially, we did not do hepatitis B. There's almost not one record of a child getting hepatitis B, like zero, none. You get it from dirty needles and sex. So it's ridiculous. So we didn't give our kids hepatitis B, but we gave our kids MMR and DPT and polio. We didn't give our kids chicken pox. And my boys got chicken pox. And we had a chicken pox party and everyone got it. Yeah. That was a choice of ours. So now you don't really have that choice. And I'm sorry. I don't agree. I like what we did. We had choice. We do need a we need a vaccine card. And I'm hoping that changes. I really do. No. And they also don't need the junior hires. There's one that they push on you for the junior hires. That's the sexually transmitted HPV. That's not required either. That's not required. No COVID shot. No flu shots. So for TK, that one's absolutely 100% cut off. TK is 4 years old by September 1st, and there is no wiggle room. If we took one that was on September 2nd, we are a preschool. And you guys all know that is regulated totally different. So they have to be 4 years old kindergarten, we say 5 by September 1st, but when they're a girl and they're like, oh, I miss it by 2 weeks, we'll test them. I mean, because we can take them. There's nothing against the law for us to take a four-year-old going into kindergarten that turns 5 quickly. Generally, we feel like it's a blessing and a benefit to not send them young. I one of my granddaughters, last August 25th, turned 5. The year before, I said to my son, please don't send her to TK as a 5-year-old. And so he did. So she went to TK this year. And she'll go next year as a 6-year-old. And I'm just telling you, it's a win-win.
Because my son was born September
8th. Yeah, so we'll do it. We'll do it. Yes. That's great. Mm-hmm. But we would absolutely, if you felt like he's ready, because remember, we're going to do a reading readiness test. Yeah. And so if he passes, then great. And I have seen, right now, I have a student that was just like that. She was a girl, and she passed with 100%. She is the smartest in her class. She's like genius. And so she was very young. So we wiggle. We wiggle with that. Yes. Other questions? And then I think we're moving into... Yeah.
Do they have to take their own lunch?
Yes, and on Wednesdays we have hot lunch. It's $5, and they we're actually making it healthy. We're giving limits. Anyway, we're having fun with that. So yes, that's an option to buy lunch on Wednesdays. Yeah.
What was the end time for kindergarten?
Kindergarten ends at 2:10. Yeah. Middle school gets out at 3 to 3:10. So you can, it is a bit of a hurry, but you can do it. A lot do it. And then the high school's out at 2:35, but they do not mind, and neither do your kids. They don't mind that they sit on the lunch court, sometimes up to 4 o'clock. Because remember, there's some of the sports and after school activities and plays are happening. As long as they're well behaved and they don't lose that privilege, the high school lets them. So I'd always say, pick up your littles and then go last and grab your high schooler. Plus, the high school has a lot of traffic, so you miss all the traffic by going late. So TK gets out at from 1:50 to 2. So again, you can go here. It's all aligned so you can travel between all of them. Okay, I think we're going into a general, I don't know what we're doing, but someone will tell you. Hey, it was wonderful. I absolutely loved it. So call the school and get your packet, and you do not have to go to the tour.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to go to lunch, and then afterwards we'll have a time for questions for every breakout speaker. So if you had a question for someone else, for one of the other options that you weren't able to attend. I also wanted to share that all of these breakout sessions are being recorded. So if there's a second option that you would like to have learned more about, you can go on to our Foothills Christian Church website, go to the menu bar and click on schools, go to educational options, click there, and then scroll down, and they will have the conference listed. And so you'll be able to listen to their audio recordings. This one was recorded visually, but all the rest are audio recordings, and you can listen in on those breakout sessions and learn more that way, okay? All right, let's have lunch. I'm going to pray. Lord, just bless this food, nourish our bodies. I pray, God, that the rest of this afternoon would be very informative, that we would learn even more, that we would be encouraged, and that we would be excited for the changes that are to come in our child's education. We love you and bless you in Jesus' name.